The following is a special announcement from KSCO owner Michael Zwirling.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the last 3+ months, KSCO has made an effort to present, in prime time, a leftist, progressive political point of view which many claim has been underrepresented on this station over the years. These programs have been 100% sponsored by the Zwirling family, whose political ideals are in contrast to those of the hosts of these noontime programs. Nevertheless, in the hopes of broadening our audience, and in our sincere desire for KSCO to truly be, finally, a voice for everyone, we have continued to sponsor these programs, even though lately we have endured much criticism for irresponsibly broadcasting anti-American rhetoric in wartime. It has also been pointed out to us that broadcasting a call for civil disobedience, such as telling people to go to San Francisco or the town clock in Santa Cruz, with the purpose of shutting down the financial district or disrupting business, is a clear violation of FCC regulations for which a station could be seriously fined. While KSCO does not condone and will not allow the illegal broadcast of any material designed to incite illegal action, we hope to continue providing a forum to the liberal progressive community, but only on the conditions that, one, this programming does not violate FCC regulations, and that, two, starting next week, it be sponsored by businesses and individuals other than the Zwirling family.
The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, good afternoon, KSCO listeners. This is Richard Quigley, taking my little 45-minute slide here. It has been some couple of weeks, hasn't it? Some couple of weeks. I want to, first of all, thank Steve Hartman coming in last week and sharing the microphone with me. The folks I met on the street out there have had plenty of nice things to say about the two of us working together. I always enjoy being with him because he is the master of this board. Long-time talent and great perspective. So, and I've invited him to stop by any time. The same goes true today. He could come walking in the middle of the show. I seriously doubt it, but it would be nice if he would. It's always good to see Steve. I'm going to move away from the direct discussion of wars and the like today and talk about freedom, because that is an area where I consider myself at least knowledgeable, if not expert. I don't know how many of you folks have taken the time to go by and take a look at the website I maintain up there, the United States Freedom Fighter website. If you haven't, my invitation is stop by. It's usff.com. There's some things about it. I get observations and stuff in the field once in a while. One of the things that people don't realize is that it doesn't go on forever. It only seems to. Slower line you got, the longer it seems to take to load. But it'll give you a sense of where I come from when I come down here and I want to talk to folks about freedom and give you some understanding of the precepts that I work from. And freedom's an interesting thing. We talk about, we're in the process now, of course, fighting for, halfway around the world, this elusive concept. And so my questions today are going to be just, you know, how free are we? How deluded are we into our freedom? I used to pride myself on the fact that I lived in a free country, and I think I can sort of relate to being lulled into that false sense of security, thinking everything's all right, until you abruptly come out. At least I abruptly came out of that misconception. Freer than any other country in the civilized world, I don't know. You'd have to judge that. I don't think that we were promised relative freedom. I think when we were in school, It was sort of put on us as this is what it is. You know, it's the California Constitution is real interesting the way that it states your status. And by the way, status is everything. When you start to deal with the law, you'll find out that your status is it's the main thing that you have to fall back on. And in many ways, the California Constitution is better than the United States Constitution just because of the way it pronounces who we are. It defines our status. All people are by nature free and independent. All people are by nature free and independent. I sit at home and I listen to the station and I hear folks talking back before a war. The pot people, the pro-marijuana folks, medical marijuana, sitting here at the microphone having discussions about what we can and cannot do. My guest a couple of weeks ago, Nick, and I'm not going to even try the name today either. But who I guess suffered a minor defeat over in Watsonville. I know that he's disappointed that the Watsonville City Council did not tell the state to pound sand when it comes to fluoridating the water in Watsonville. In reading the newspaper account, the position of the county council is that the will of the people, because it was a 51% plurality, I guess is the word you might use to describe it. It was a 51% vote, that somehow that diminishes the will of the people, except that, I don't know how many would surrender their office or the authority of their office if they'd only won their elections, their individual elections, by one percentile. But who knows what motivates bureaucrats? That's what I've been trying to find out for years. So, relative to freedom, no, we don't have the freedom to medicate ourselves. We don't have the freedom to not medicate ourselves. And so what do we have the freedom to do? What are our freedoms? What is liberty? And for me, I always thought that I understood what freedom was because of the way I was raised. I was raised back in Arizona, although I'm a native Californian. I was raised back in Arizona where we had nothing but miles and miles and nothing but miles and miles. And after the first few hours of absolutely no one to regulate your life, you begin to understand that, well, this is kind of neat. You know, nobody tells me that I have to move here or stand there or wait for something else. And after a couple, 3 days, when you're out there in the woods just hanging out, you start to begin to wrap yourself around it. And I thought I had a pretty good grasp on the whole thing until I read Henry David Thoreau the first time and realized that, my God, I'm a serf and didn't even know it. Serf, slave, whatever. And the evidence of that is just overwhelming. Ran into a couple ladies down in La Selva today who, for I guess, just because I didn't get the permission, will remain ID-less, which is not really fair. But anyway, we were talking about the war and the like, and they asked me what I was going to be talking about on the show today, and I told them I was going to go back to what I know best, and that's the subject of freedom. And they were talking about how they weren't allowed to get married, and these two ladies. And I thought, well, you mean you don't have a right to get married? Is that the problem? Because a guy and a girl don't have the right to get married. And that's an interesting thing about this free country that we live in. When the Massa had his Toby and the like, and Toby wanted to take a wife, Toby would go to the Massa, and he had asked for permission to take a wife. And it would all depend on how the Massa thought that it would influence his inventory as to whether or not he would allow this to take place. And that was the standing of a slave. It was not that much different in the times, 1600s and so on, the early days. This whole thing about people having to get a marriage license. Oh, by the way, you're listening. This is Richard Quigley. I'm on KSCO 1080 AM. My God. This is a talk show. Call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. I'd love to hear from you. Talk about these things and reflections that you've had on how free we are or are not. I don't necessarily feel like debating, but I certainly feel like expanding the point of view. In any case, yeah, it's when you need permission, a license, which is what you need to get married, you need to go down and get a license. Well, if you look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, which I don't know whether the law ever uses these things anymore, but in Black's Law Dictionary, it says as a license is permission to do that which would otherwise be unlawful. And so we start looking at licensing and licenses, and there we are, marriage license. You have to get permission. It is deemed or presumed to be unlawful to marry without the permission of the state or the federal government. And if that doesn't give you a sense of dis-ease about just exactly how free you are, you're sitting about where I was before I read Henry David Thoreau. And then we talk about, well, what do you have the right to do? I love the right to work laws. I just absolutely love those. There's nobody in this country, to my knowledge, that in the eyes of the government has a right to work. You take a job, you sign up, and you pay the government a portion of what you make. And this is something that a property would do. If you were owned by the massa, and the massa wanted you, you know, the Farmer Jones wanted you to go over and plow his land and approach the massa about it and say, you know, I'd like him to plow my land. And it'd be worked out between the farmers, you know, who it is that gets the proceeds from the slave. Now, granted, it was all... The slave didn't get anything from it, I guess, the way they worked it out, or at least it would be minimal benefits, so-called benefits. But when you have to pay the government in order to work, you can hardly consider that you're living in a free state. Use of the roadways, and people that know me well know this has been one of my pet peeves for all the years, is... we have no right to use the roadways, but we do, but we don't, but we do, but we don't. And, okay. I'm sorry, I was reading a note there. The roadways, one of the most valuable of all of our rights is the right to move about. I mean, what is freedom if not but to move and explore? And the courts in the olden days held up time and time again that we had an absolute right to use the roadways, the public roadways, for matters of travel. At some point, and we might get into the whole deterioration of that today, what happened to that. But I know that 100 years ago in this country, well, maybe not 100 anymore. I've been telling this story the same way a long time. Let's try 125 years ago in this country. Your right to travel was so important that if somebody stole your horse, they could be hanged for it. It was a capital offense to interfere with your right to travel. And here we are down the road 125 years later, and they got these police people out here that are paid to do just that, regulate and exercise the government's will against your use of the roadways for private reasons. If it's commerce, that's different, but we're not talking about commerce. We're talking about freedom. People that enter into commerce ask the government to use the public whatevers, whether it be the roadways or public land or the public access for private commercial gain. And that's called commerce. And should or could that be regulated in a free society? Sure, I think that we can concede that without giving up any of our fundamental freedoms. I look at the California Constitution, all people are by nature free and independent until you enter into commerce. And it doesn't say that in the Constitution, but I think that that's fair. I think it's fair that if people are going to be selling you food, that because we don't want to be poisoned, that they expose themselves to the regulations that have to do with serving food to the general public and so on. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that relative to the use of the roadways. When somebody wants to get themselves a great big old truck and load it up with a bunch of stuff and haul it down the road for pay, and somebody's willing to pay them to do it, now that's a little different deal. And the reason is that now they're going out and they're using public property. That property belongs to everybody, and they're using it for private gain. So are they justified to require that these people be licensed and regulated? Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, anything that can be licensed can be taken away at will. And anybody that's ever lost their driver's license in a world where the officers do not believe that you have a right to use the roadways knows that in California, that right license is just about like food. You know, you just can't really get around or live without it. So there's some case law on that. I'm not going to go into all that. It's not what we're talking about today or what I'm talking about. Apparently, I haven't got any calls yet. You folks got any views on freedom? The number down here is 479-1080, 477-1340. Feel free. I'm more than ready to field all calls. And if you wait too long, what I'll do is I'll just go ahead and feed you some commercials. I'll get even with you for ignoring me. Anyway, so we have no right to use the roadways. We have no right to get married. First Amendment, oh, do we have a right to protest? Well, that's one that's come up here a lot lately. And it seems to me that today the line on the exercise of the First Amendment, or at least one of the lines that is being discussed right here in Santa Cruz at a fairly intensive level, is chalking. And when I talk about chalking, I'm talking about people doing what would otherwise be defined as graffiti. Depends on who the audience is. It's like all First Amendment stuff, whether it's art I need to draw for a word now. Vandalism. Depends on whether or not you agree with it. But the chalking stuff, you know, this is a temporary thing that people put on sidewalks. And at some point, the higher courts have held that because it's not of itself destructive, that it's not vandalism because it can be easily repaired. The argument comes back the other way. Well, somebody's got to go out there and wash it off. I understand that. In the meantime, it may or may not be unpleasant to the eye. That seems to be where the battle has come. We saw some more dramatic stuff than that in San Francisco over this last week or so. And one view in particular from a helicopter, and I don't know how many of you folks saw the video. I didn't see it but once. I'm expecting I'll see it again on Court TV. But I watched a guy climb out of an SUV and hit a woman. I don't believe I've ever seen a man hit a man that hard, and he hit this woman just unmercifully hard. Knocked her cold as a wedge. I can't imagine what he did that, or she did that might have made him that angry, but this guy was really on a tirade. And, of course, the person that upset him undoubtedly thought that their behavior was protected by the First Amendment. When they were blocking traffic and doing all that stuff, they all think that's First Amendment protected, but that's been asked and answered, folks. Your rights do, and rightfully so, and at the end of somebody else's nose. You can flail your hands all you want. But as soon as you start getting in somebody else's way, different deal. I had to laugh. There's Robert Norris. I don't know how many of you folks know of him or know him, but Robert's got a real interesting car. It is a body by bumper sticker. Instead of paint, he just covers everything up with bumper stickers. And some folks consider that rather unsightly. And so he goes down there and parks that car and gets out of that car, and he's out there chalking the sidewalk, or his friends are chalking the sidewalk, and they want to take after the sidewalk, him messing with the sidewalk because it's unsightly, but nobody says anything about the car. And I look at that, and it's like, isn't it the same thing? Don't know. We'll be finding out, apparently, because I know there's some trials going on this. And so these things are going to come up. Looks like somebody did give me a call. I got Jay in Aptos, and I'm going to see if I can get Jay on the line. Jay, are you out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to me. Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, this is Jerry.
Oh, okay. I had it up on the screen as Jay.
Yeah. So no, it's like, really, don't you think we've crossed the line where freedom kind of stops at commerce now? That when you're restricted from your behaviors because it might interfere with commerce?
Well, and that might interfere as the operative, sure. You know, you and I have dealt with this issue along the way, and it's been a lot more severe on you than on me for reasons that that's the nature of the law, I guess. But, yeah, absolutely. People don't understand that when a business opens up in commerce, they get a license to open a business. That license is set up to open that business to all the public. You don't get a license to open a business open to the public so that you can discriminate. Those are clubs, and if you want to open a club, that's okay. But as Jerry well knows, that's it's been a little different scene down in Aptos in the last few years. There was a major battle skirmish that went on there from, what was it, 1997, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it started in 1997 when, for some reason, the merchants in the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center decided to clear the parking lot, and they were going to start running off all the riffraff. The problem is that nobody wears riffraff signs. And Jerry is Jerry lives in a very nice home up in the Aptos Hills and was downtown, standing outside a liquor store lighting a cigarette when the first alarm guy walked up to him, started poking him in the chest, telling him to move along. And Article 1, Section 1, California Constitution, all people are by nature free and independent, and that includes all people, includes Jerry. But this was done in the interest of commerce. They were going to start running off everybody that did not look the way they wanted them to look out of there. It's what I finally denoted as liberal fascism. It's the blight of this county. I really believe that. It's not much better downtown, is it, Jerry?
No, but, you know, here I am standing convicted of looking drunk and homeless, being scary looking for a tourist and refusing to leave because that's the charge, that I look scary looking, because she could tell by looking at me I was drunk and homeless. Don't drink. Not homeless.
Yeah, no, we those of us that know you, in fact, for those in the audience that don't know, Jerry Henry was a street minister down there for a number of years and attended to the young people in our community, in the community area, and is currently, to the shame and disgrace of this legal system, pretty much banished from that area for no good reason.
Well, when you can't walk down the public sidewalk, you're banished from your town. This community freedom's got to the point where for commerce, putting somebody on a rail and feathering and tarring them and running them out of town seems to be exactly what freedom's recognized as in this community.
One of these days, if I can figure out a way to turn it into an hour, Jerry, I think I'm going to bring you down here and we're going to talk. I'm going to let you go right now. Thanks a lot for calling in, and we're going to talk about freedom some more with some more callers. Right now, what I'm going to do, however, is see if I can't thank Michael for giving me a little air time. Whoops.
Scratching your head in confusion, give Bedell Nelson Harbor Insurance a call. Hello, Scott Bedell here for the Bedell Nelson Harbor Insurance Agency and the Allied Insurance Company. You can always count on Bedell Nelson Harbor Insurance to do things right. And when it comes to homeowners insurance, right means the low premiums and high dollar coverage of Allied Homeowners Insurance. Bedell Nelson Harbor Insurance and the Allied Group. One agent, one company, and coverage you can trust. 426-3700. That's 426-3700.
J&B Painting would like to express their support for those who proudly serve our country. Today's military personnel and their families make many sacrifices for all of us. Let's salute them and the officers and firefighters who serve every day here at home. This is from J&B Painting. They serve fine homes and commercial structures throughout the area. If you're thinking about redecorating your home or office this season, call 831-479-7700 for J&B Painting in Soquel.
Get ready to rock and roll.
Hey everybody, I'm Alan Nathan, host of Battle On, and here is our mantra. We want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Whether it's political, cultural, or social, we've got the debate to stir your blood. Join us right here on AM 1080 KSCO, the red hot news talk for the Central Coast, every Monday to Friday, 1 to 3 p.m.
All right, well, I pretty much took care of that obligation. I think right now what I've got on, I had him. Robert, you still there?
I'm here.
Wow.
Hey, I think you must also pay tribute to our freedom fighters on the air who are supporting our country like yourself there, Richard.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. I was totally prepared to talk about you, but I don't know how.
Oh.
But if you're going to be here, Yeah, what is the deal on chalking these days? What is the status of that?
Well, actually, I happen to have with me that arch chalk criminal, Becky Johnson, who has recently been convicted of, I guess, two counts of chalking, which means using erasable chalk on a sidewalk, even though it is essentially erasable within about 45 seconds with water and the palm of your hand. You know, so unless you're, of course, doing a huge display of some kind, but, you know, a small statement like a sentence. And, you know, there's been, of course, a lot of anti-war activity downtown, as well as concerns about discrimination against the poor, such as you've been talking about with Jerry Henry. And the courts have ruled, local courts have ruled that the so-called defacing the sidewalk ordinance means that chalking a hopscotch matrix is illegal anywhere on any sidewalk in Santa Cruz and punishable by a $162 fine.
So let me see if I've got this. You guys are coming in through the side with the hopscotch matrix and wanting to use that to put political messages on the sidewalk.
Well, actually, I think most people who chalk on the sidewalk, you know, different protests have different messages, whether it's folks who support the war or for folks who oppose the war or folks who are concerned about other issues. Now, and then when the protest, whatever it is over, you know, either chalk either wears away or gets washed away at the next, you know, whenever somebody comes out with a hose and water.
Well, what do you hear about that court opinion that came out? By the way, this is KSCO, AM 1080 radio. The call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-3040. I'm talking to Robert Norse, an activist here in Santa Cruz, been working with the homeless for a long time. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, actually, I'm facing chalking charges myself.
By the way, I saw you getting cuffed up last night on television. What was that about?
Oh, that was something you may not agree with, blocking the recruiting center nonviolently at the, you know, out at 41st Avenue.
Yeah, well, I haven't thought about it, but I'll give it some thought. That blocking, that whole blocking thing is a problem for me. Yeah, you're right about that. But anyway, go back to where you were, please.
Well, the other issue was that again, around the war, I chalked no war on the street in Pacific Avenue. And the reason I chalked it in the street was I knew that police were misusing this defacing the sidewalk ordinance, which doesn't mention chalk at all. It mentions paint, marks, advertisements.
Well, the court, wasn't there a court ruling on that talked about the temporary nature being the relief from the offense?
There was a court ruling, actually, which gave $25,000 to a person who was falsely arrested under a vandalism statute way back in 1991 or 92 in Berkeley, Christopher McKinney. But since then, the legislature has rewritten the state law and the city law, which has never been used to go after chalkers prior to 2000 that I know of, has suddenly been pulled out by City Attorney Barisoni and Sergeant Butchie Baker to go after folks.
Yeah, they have that office down there is paid to do that kind of stuff. I still think that's why they bought that. They got that ex judge in there.
Kovacevic.
Yeah, Kovacevic. Mm-hmm. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we call him. The only district attorney in the state of California ever to put a woman on trial for, or anybody on trial for being a vampire. What a nutcase he is. And I've watched him work. He was one of the principal instigators in the Henry case.
When he was still district, on appeal, right?
If you can call it appeal, not getting anything done. That thing has been sitting in limbo now while this man suffers under it. I mean, Mr. Henry, in spite of the fact that he's fairly articulate, for those of you who don't know, he is, in fact, a disabled man. And it is very hard for him to put together those stretches of conversation like he and I did today. He's a great guy, and he has just suffered just incredible, more than you or I could even understand. I mean, think about pick a spot in Santa Cruz County. I don't care what it is, a store, a parking lot, just some place where everybody can go. And then banish yourself. Just banish yourself. You can't go there. And see how long it is till you start to begin to sense that there's something really uncomfortable about that. And then expand that out to years and understand that that was mandated because of who you are. The nature of who you are. Not that you have bothered anybody or stolen anything or damaged any property, but simply because of your appearance. And it's The whole thing just absolutely boggles my mind. I did everything I could to help with that and remain ready.
Richard, I think you should also mention that he was engaged in advising and ministering to young people who were simply trying to assert their right to be around the coffee roasting company area in the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, just as people in downtown Pacific Avenue are finding that, you know, they're going to be, they're warned or ticketed for such things as bouncing a rubber ball on the sidewalk.
Worse than that. They were sitting down there, one young man playing guitar and everybody else listening, and not the worst guitar player in the world. It wasn't like one of these offensive things. They came out and they were shutting that down. No, it was unbelievable stuff. We may one day do an entire hour and just see if we can wrap around. I got arrested out of there three times myself. I was never put on $100,000 bail like Mr. Henry. $100,000 bail.
Twice.
Yeah. And do you know that this guy, there's a young man right now that has a very high standing and one of the, I don't know how to do this without identifying him. Anyway, he was a heroin addict that was trying to clean himself up and came there because he had heard that Mr. Henry could help with that kind of thing with his counseling. And he today is as fine a young man and as proud a citizen as anybody would want to meet in this community. And he's an absolute product of the work and the dedication to Jerry Henry.
Jerry Henry is still dedicated. I saw him yesterday delivering food to folks at the town clock and other people who are poor downtown that don't have access to regular food.
He was hauling food from one end of this county to the other at his own expense and ended up being, had his license suspended because some cop decided to make up a bunch of lies about him because of where he parked while he was delivering food to the homeless. No, it's unbelievable. It is an unbelievable story that will probably never be told. If it will, it'll be done in short clips at a pace where people won't get it.
Maybe we can do that on another show. And I'm going to hang up so you can get more callers.
Well, I was going to let you go so I can get more callers.
Just
and by the way,
one more sentence before I go.
Sure.
And that is that this whole matrix of laws is really, to me, that you see downtown, the so-called downtown ordinances don't sit within 14 feet of a building and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Is really a way of giving the police a kind of blank check so that they can choose and pick whoever they want out of, you know, who they feel don't belong in an area,
yep,
and then select the statue.
Yep. Yeah,
no, letting me be on, Richard.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Robert, thank you very much for calling in. Right now I got Santa Cruz Mike, and I've got a spelling of pornography here I'm looking at. Does that have anything to do with you?
Hey, Richard. No. Actually, this last caller kind of got me going here. You know what? I think people should have free rights, but it really bothers me that people think they can just mark up our sidewalks and sign up in front of somebody's business. And that's right. I have a business here and I have public parking. I don't want people doing crap out in front of my business.
Well, you know,
I have a problem with that.
And I told you, and I mentioned it when I came through, Mike, that one of the problems with this whole thing about the First Amendment is where is the line? And right now, one of the lines that I see is right there. There was a code, 602.1, is intentional interference with a business. And that's what they eventually arrested Mr. Henry for, who, by the way, did no chalking.
Right. This last guy, what bothers me is he's doing it not for the message. He's doing it to provoke him. And see, that's why we get stupid laws, is to deal with people like him.
Well, I don't know that.
You know, that's the way it comes across to me. He's talking about the legal technicalities and stuff. Well, you know what? If you want to be serious about something, you don't worry about the legal technicalities.
Well,
and I'm concerned about that.
Unfortunately, you do. And let me explain to you how that fits, Mike. There's a the government will not listen to you or me. Well, they might listen to you. They certainly don't listen to me, except when they're just boxed. But you can't just go to these guys and say, hey, what about this idea? Don't you think that's a bad one? We should get rid of it. Don't you think this is a good one? We could do it better that way. And you pretty much, if you are not a major contributor to their campaign, it's going to be whatever it takes to get rid of you, usually through an aide.
Right.
So that it's very difficult to find out or to push back or to adjust things when you start to see things in your world that are, we have this slate of freedoms that we have and yet they're being restricted over here, then people are going to go out and test that line. Now, I'm not giving you a blanket endorsement of Robert Norris or anybody else for that matter because I don't know. It's not for me to make the call. It is us as a society to make the call. But I do know that in my own case, I've had to go out and live an unlawful exhibit unlawful behavior in order to make a point about the unlawful nature mm-hmm. of the law that brought it about. You follow what I'm saying?
I do, but, you know, to me, this is so, the chalking is like we're pushing the boundaries to such an extent. It seems to me there's got to be, like, I don't think anyone wants our town, it's like having the graffiti and stuff like that, it's just another part of it.
Yeah,
there's
I know.
Some things that we, like marching with a sign, I certainly wouldn't do that unless you were trying to target a business and hurt them, but marching up and down with a sign, well, that's fine. But chalking, again, you're damaging public property. Somebody has to clean it up. Somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to take the time. And that's where I see the difference at.
Yeah, Mike, and that's the line right now that's being established. The courts are going to deal with that issue, and they're going to come back with something, and whether or not I agree with it or don't agree with it, or you agree with it or don't agree with it, that's going to be a way that it shakes out. But that I brought it up not because I advocate it, because I personally don't, as Robert knows, I don't approve of that. I am definitely very much against graffiti. I don't understand that. I was a kid when my dad taught me that fools' names and fools' faces are often seen in public places, you know. And so people that wrote their names on the walls just didn't cut it for me. But
hey, how about back to the porn?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know you were talking about earlier about the licenses and fees.
Yeah,
I'm convinced that most of that is a source of revenue. But let me tell you something even more interesting. Most people don't know this. I was involved in the adult business one time for about 6 years. Let me tell you something. Most people don't realize that if it was not for MasterCard, Visa, and AT&T providing the phone lines, there would be no porn business in the United States. And I'll tell you another fact that people don't know. When you have a porn business and you have those merchant accounts, like Wells Fargo will not let you have one as an example. They don't deal with porn, but there are special banks just for doing that, such as Card Service International. They charge you 2 to 3 times the discount rate of a regular retail business, plus I was paying $2,000 in what they call high-risk fees just because I was in the audio text or adult phone sex business. Isn't that incredible? The reason that a lot of these businesses, just like the licenses and fees, the porn business and things that people don't like, it's there because someone's making a lot of money. Doesn't matter what the laws are.
Yeah, commerce ends up being the driving force
behind so much.
Yeah, it ends up being the driving force behind so much.
Yeah.
Nick, Mike, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the information. And it looks like we're slowly but surely winding down on the hour here. This has been Richard Quigley at KSCO AM 1080. Call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. If you really want to see how bad I can fall apart, start calling me now, and let's see if I can fit everything in by the end of the show. I'm just kidding. I think I got a five-minute wrap-up. I understand things went well for Steve at the bowling last night, and I'm really surprised that he's I'm not really surprised. I didn't know that he had any nerve damage in his hand, but I guess when you come in second, you got to have some excuse. So I thought that was pretty funny. Rosemary was third place. And so far they've managed to get 7 hours of Steve back on the air by the donations that have come in. I was hoping that it was like at $780 or something so I could plunk another 20 down and maybe we could get him back on the air for 8 hours. Hopefully not on my time slot. My time slot like I own it. I got a note here from Cyril, and I'm not any good at reading and talking at the same time. And let me see all the questions, paradoxes, how free we are. What is my definition of freedom? To make it for an argument, I will give you mine. He says, arguably, freedom is an ability to act in an arbitrary way without requiring any action on the part of others. Since if you do require anything from others to implement your freedom, these others lose their freedom as well. And that's absolutely true. And then he talks about the roads. Different thing entirely, Cheryl. I definitely would like to do let's hash that out sometime over there. This might be one of those things would be fun to have you down. I understand that you're fairly well known here and a voice that the KSCO listeners are used to hearing. So I'd be more than happy to entertain a discussion on the right to use the roadways because that is my hardcore. That's one of my hardest fights. I'm hoping that by the time I leave this planet, I will have had enough effect that at least people will recognize that they do have that right. My evidence is that when I leave my abode and head for town, the first 4 miles of my travels are on what's known as a private road. It's a community road. It's owned by the people that live there, that own the houses, and I do not own a house on that road. I am a guest of an owner of a property up there. But I have a right to use that road back and forth through his property. And that right is so extreme that if someone were to decide they did not want me going back and forth to that property, and I'm not working on his right now, I'm working on mine. All of you folks up there, you got the same rights on that road. Somebody gets out there and stops you using that, stops me using that private road, and the cops will come up there and arrest them. But just as soon as I go that 4 miles in toward town and afoot, those same officers will arrest me, steal my car, and get rid of it or whatever, and throw me in jail if I do not have permission from the state of California to travel to town. And until somebody can straighten that one away for me, they insisted on that 4 miles of private road. Private road. Understand, I don't own any portion. I can lay claim to no portion of that road whatsoever. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. But I have the right to use it. The public roadway, I have my share. If there's, what, 23 million, 25 million people, I have 1/25 millionth. It is public property. It is in part mine. But when I get down to use my own, I'm not allowed to do that unless I have permission and I've paid my tribute money to the insurance companies and all the stuff's in line. And it's like, I can't get that one resolved. I'm working on it. I've got a little logging tractor. It looks very much like a Honda three-wheeler ATV. But because I know what the sheriff's office defines as logging tractors, it's the logging tractor that I'm going to be bringing to town and riding around this summer. And if you see me out there, try not to run over me. I'll have my little triangle on there. But I'm going to be finding out whether or not I've still got what it takes to run a tractor to town in this day and age in this country. Because it is the mark of our freedom for me, especially since my first love is motorcycle, to be able to travel at will, to go visit friends, to move from one place to another, you know, change my abode, all of those things. We have this incredible network system. So anyway, we're running out of time. It's been great. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Kay's Whirling. Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you guys that called in. Enjoy having you talk to me. I'll be back, I guess, next Thursday, barring anything else. KSCO, 1080 Radio. Richard Quigley, signing off.
USA Radio Network News, I'm Alan Stone. Loud explosions are again rocking Baghdad. A large cloud and heavy smoke are seen rising high into the skies. At least a dozen large explosions have been reported in the Iraqi capital, where it is nighttime.